From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. On December 22nd, Michigan will enact a ban on many kinds of affirmative action. Voters recently approved the change by a ballot initiative, Proposal 2. Proposal 2 kills statewide race-based programs in public education, public employment, and contracts. What will that do in the state and in America? In a moment, we'll talk to Newsweek contributing editor Ellis Coase, who wrote about the issue. But first, a closer look at Michigan, the third state to ban some types of affirmative action. NPR's Tony Cox spoke to attorney Terrence Pell, who heads the Center for Individual Rights in Washington, D.C. He represented Jennifer Gratz, a white applicant who sued the University of Michigan in 1995 after being rejected. Tony started off by asking Mr. Pell why he took on Jennifer's case.
The University of Michigan was running what amounted to a two-track admission system with different admission standards based on the race of the applicant. And we felt that was unconstitutional, and we were vindicated. In 2003, the Supreme Court struck down the admission system that excluded Jennifer Gratz based on race.
Was there something particular about her or her individual case that made her seem like the right person to back for this?
The primary consideration was that she was willing to sue the University of Michigan. Not many people are willing to do that. Beyond that, she was a candidate who would have been accepted and would have attended the University of Michigan, but for the use of race in her particular case. And of course, that's very important from the point of view of a lawsuit, where you want to show that she was denied the ability to attend the University of Michigan solely because she had the wrong skin color.
Now, we know that the voters passed Proposal 2 by a wide margin on November 7th. Now, Detroit Free Press columnist Rochelle Riley, who appears on our roundtable on this program, said recently that the effect of the passage of Proposal 2 does more harm in practical terms than good. Here's what she said.
Not only will it be challenged, but it will be challenged numerous times. So millions of dollars that could have gone to other things will have to be spent defending this initiative. I think that what we really needed to do was have some serious discussions about the economics of affirmative action and how it really is helping people who are disadvantaged, disadvantaged in education, disadvantaged with jobs, and in a lot of cases, those people happen to be people of color.
So what about that, Mr. Pell? We know that the challenges have, in fact, already begun.
Well, most of the challenges have come from people who support the use of race, and the president of the University of Michigan has indicated that it will be very aggressive in court, already suggesting it's going to file two different lawsuits. There's really no reason for this. I agree with the commenter that this is going to cost a lot of money, and it's wasted money. It's money that could be spent in other ways. Look, the fact of the matter is that Michigan knows how to run an admission system without the use of race. It knows how to produce a diverse student body without the use of explicit racial preferences. Schools in California have done this successfully. Schools in Texas have done it successfully, as have schools in Washington and Florida. So there's no mystery about this. The university could comply with Proposition 2 if it wanted to, but these lawsuits are properly viewed as part of a larger political effort to discredit Proposition 2 and discredit the people who brought Proposition 2. But in practical terms, there's no reason why the university couldn't comply starting tomorrow.
You mentioned California. I was going to ask you how familiar you are with the most recent ramifications here in California post Prop 209, and as you know, that is our version of Proposal 2, that the University of California is now trying to grapple with because enrollment of African-American students plummeted as a result of the change in law. Do you foresee that plummeting enrollment of African-Americans in the future in Michigan, and is that what you want to see?
No, of course not. I think everybody believes in diversity, and I take issue with your use of the word plummet. What actually happened in California was that minority enrollment, particularly African-American enrollment, dropped significantly the year following the passage of Proposition 209. It then rebounded the second year following. Since then, it's stayed at fairly high levels. It is true that sort of looking back over the last several years, there's been a shift in minority enrollment away from the two or three top-tier flagship schools towards less-ranked schools within the California system. But the net result of that is that more African-American students are attending California schools than ever before, and the graduation rates are as high or higher than they've ever been before. So that's a good thing overall. It doesn't mean that some specific schools don't have problems that they will have to continue to grapple with. But overall, the story is a good one, and it certainly does not reflect your description of plummeting minority enrollment.
Well, you would certainly find a debate on that point, and one we will not take the time to go into here because we're talking about Michigan and not California. Let me ask you, what's next on your agenda?
Well, I think that we will see what the University of Michigan does here. Our hope is that when they review the legal options carefully, they will decide that it's better for everybody to promptly implement a Proposition 2. That doesn't mean that there won't be difficulties, as there have been in California, but they're difficulties that I think people of goodwill can work through together without the need for endless and further litigation.
Now, there has been one victory for you here in the state of Michigan. Are there other states that are being targeted for this same kind of action?
Well, I believe people in other states are discussing the possibility of mounting ballot initiatives. I don't know which states those are, but I certainly think more ballot initiatives are in the cards here. I think gradually the country is moving away from the use of racial double standards, and that's a good thing. And so I would expect more ballot initiatives and possibly some more court cases. But the overall picture is going to be one of achieving diverse student bodies in every sense of the word without using racial double standards. And that's progress.
Terrence Pell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was NPR's Tony Cox speaking with Terrence Pell, president of the Center for Individual Rights in Washington, D.C.